The Finding of Hallgren by Charles Diffin. Chapter 1. S.O.S. The venerable president of the Federation, Aeronautique Internationale, had been speaking. He paused now to look out over the sea of faces that filled the great hall in serried waves. He half turned that he might let his eyes pass over the massed company on the platform with him. The Stratosphere Control Board, and they had called in their representatives from the far corners of the earth to hear the memorable words of this aged man. From the waiting audience came no slightest sound. The men and women were as silent as that other audience listening and watching in every hamlet of the world, wherever radio and television reached. Again the figure of the president was drawn erect. The scanty white hair was thrown back from his forehead. He was speaking. And this vast development has come within the memory of one man. I, speaking to you here in this year of 1974, have seen it all come to pass, and now I am overwhelmed with the wonder of it, even as I was when those two Americans first flew at Kitty Hawk. I myself saw that. I saw with these eyes the first crude engine-bearing kites. I saw them from 1914 to 1918, tempered and perfected in the furnace of war. I saw the coming of detonite and the beginning of our air transport of today. And always I have seen brave men, men who smiled grimly as they took those first crude controls in their hands, who laughed and waved to us as they took off in the flying coffins of the Great War. Who had the courage to dare the unknown dangers of the high levels, and who first threw their ships through the repelling area and blazed the air trails of a new world. And today, I who have seen all this, stand before you and say, thank God, the spirit of brave men goes on. It has never ended. That adventurer strain, that race of Viking men. We have two of them here tonight. The whole world is pausing this instant, wherever men are on land or water or air, to do honor to these two. They do not know why they are here. They have been summoned by the Stratosphere Control Board, which has delegated to me the honor of making the announcement. The tall figure was commandingly erect. For an instant, the fire of youth had returned to him. Walter Harkness, he called. Chester Bullard, stand forth that the eyes of the world may see. Two men arose from among the members of the board and came hesitantly forward. Strongly contrasting was the darkly handsome face of Harkness, man of wealth and pilot of the second class, and the no less pleasing features of Chet Bullard, master pilot of the world, for Bullard's curling hair was as golden as the triple star upon his chest that proclaimed his standing to the world and all the air above. The speaker was facing them. He turned away for a moment that he might bow to a girl who was still seated next to the chair where Walt Harkness had been. To Mrs. Harkness, he said, who, until 1 month ago, was Mademoiselle Delacour, of her own beloved France. I shall have something further to say. She, too, has been summoned by the board, but for now I address these two. Again he was facing the two men, and now he was speaking directly to them. Pilot Harkness and Master Pilot Bullard, for you the world has been forced to create a new honor, a new mark of the world's esteem. For you two have done what never men have done before. We, who have preceded you, have subdued the air, but you, gentlemen, you, the first of all created beings to do so, have conquered space. And to you, because of your courage, because of your dauntless pioneer spirit, because of the unconquerable will that drove you and the inventive genius that